It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Yes, here.
Co-Chair Lennon. Commissioner Veazey. Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Cadlick.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
We have five voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. Seeing none, we will move on to adoption of the April 8th meeting minutes. Were there any revisions, corrections in last month's minutes? Do we have a motion to adopt?
I make the motion.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. All right. We will move on to commissioner updates.
Well, I just want to say that I said last time that I'd come up with some ideas for the newsletter related to misconceptions that came out of the comments. I have not had a chance to work on that, but I will between now and the next meeting. So I'm bad.
That's all right. I think I'm using your last of the reserve drafts for next month's monthly newsletter was the like impact of water and different food products. So,
oh, okay. Good, good.
Well, I attended a wonderful presentation by Luis Mezzatesta at the River Forest Library.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was sparsely attended, but those who were there were listening avidly.
It was Palm Sunday, not the best time to do it.
It was very good. And inspired me to think about some more things.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I want to apologize to Commissioner Mezzatesta. I didn't realize it was on Palm Sunday and I was in the city. I thought I would be there, but I hope it was phenomenal. It would be cool to, depending on the attendance, I don't know, it might be cool to do it again. But also, there is, for any high schoolers, anyone knows, there's this DePaul Youth Climate Justice Summit on October 10th. It's going to be like an all-day thing. I'm on the adult steering committee, and the keynote speaker room seats 108 people, so we want like more than just one high school representative represented. And there also is, if anyone wants to go on a cool bus ride to Springfield, Illinois on the 21st, it is a work day on a Wednesday next week. Oh yeah, it's so soon, but I'm going there to lobby with the Illinois Environmental Council. And then an agenda item, I just thought a future agenda item that might be cool, or maybe we could just discuss tonight, that I thought of while I was in the restroom, was potentially switching out the toilet, no, not the toilet paper, the and paper towels to blow dryers instead of paper towels, because that just, I mean, it's probably a low amount of people that go in them, but probably less wasteful. And then where did my notes go? And then there's also this Aspen Ideas Conference on the 22nd to the 25th in Chicago, and it's on climate change. I might go, and if anyone else wants to go, let me know. That will increase the likelihood I go. The 22nd to the 25th, and I'm pretty sure you can get individually just for a day. You don't have to get it for the whole conference. And also, I have a podcast if anyone wants to come on, talk about the commission or other things. Ben's coming on to talk about train and what we're doing. So, sorry, that's all mine. Should have told me to shout out.
I just had one other small issue. So I've been monitoring the new composting up at the pump house since my garden's up there. And even though there's, you know, kind of clear signage, there seems to be confusion about what's what. And I just wondered if it was possible to get a sticker on top of, you know, like which, I think it is confusing that the with LRS, the compost and the recycling are the same color. So like there was a six packs of bottles in there. And also, would it be possible to get a recycling there?
I can ask.
Okay. Okay, because so right now there's trash, landfill, and compost. Okay. And it doesn't seem like other than me, it's being used very heavily with the correct stuff. But I think it takes a while for people to realize what's where. So that gives us some time to get signage up so the appropriate things are going in.
All right. All right. With nothing else, we'll move on to our next item of business. I had drafted a memo. This was something that President Ducey had asked me to look into and bring to the commission. This Switch Together solar program. So as the memo outlines, the collaboration between the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, the Citizens Utility Board of Illinois, and a software company called iChooser, who just sort of provides the platform and the marketing for the program. Oak Park participates in it. Cook County participates in it. It's basically just a voluntary solar group buy where anyone who's interested in installing rooftop solar on their home can sign up. This group sort of, yeah, I think it's described as a reverse auction. They sort of bid out and select the sort of lowest bidder to provide rooftop solar installation. And they work sort of do vetting of local contractors and find local qualified contractors. I did reach out to the Oak Park initially, and they were able to connect me with contacted the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, sort of gave me a quick rundown of the program. There's no real commitment for any community other than sort of helping push out marketing of the program. Anyone who signs up after the offer comes in, they can still make the decision of whether or not to go with this contractor. President Ducey had asked me to bring this to you all for your discussion and potentially your approval. I did include a motion recommendation. I don't think there needs to be any formal board action, but just to have this for when I report back.
When I saw your note, Seth, my question is, what do the village attorneys say? Because it almost looks like they want the village logo on there.
Yeah.
Letterheads. It almost implies that the village is a proponent of this company. And I don't know if the attorneys would agree. I mean, I have no issue with people having this access to it. I just wonder if the village wouldn't want to be on a hook if there's any kind of issues with it.
I have not brought this to the village attorneys yet.
That'd be my suggestion.
Yeah.
It's not really a company though, is it? It's a program.
It's a program. Correct. Right? Yeah.
They seek
various local contractors for it. So,
but it's an entity you're endorsing.
An entity.
Yes.
The village would be endorsing them.
Correct.
And that's where I think that the attorney should be the ones to say, yeah, we're okay with this or not, because if they're okay with it, then sit in my chair, I'd be okay with it too.
I feel like whenever the Citizens Utility Board is involved, it's been highly vetted. So I would lend my personal support to it.
I think Gary made a good point, although I think you're right, Susan. Anything Cub does is, you know, pretty good. But maybe it would be a good idea just to see what the attorneys say, because like Gary said, I'd agree that, you know, barring any issues they might have, from my perspective, yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Sure. Anyone else? Did we further comments? Did we want to vote on this?
I would move, yes, that we recommend the village become a promotional partner for the Switch Together Chicagoland Solar Program, subject to the approval of the village attorney for use of the village logo.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yep, with those words Susan put in.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta? Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
6-0 recommendation passes. All right. Just to stay on the topic of solar, a few more updates for everyone, and actually more updates since Gary and Susan and I met last week. The community solar farm that our pump station and street lighting accounts will be the anchor account for should be online later this year. So I've been working with Satori Energy, our energy consultant, to get all of the sort of utility and billing stuff set up for that. And so once that's online, we'll have more information, but it's projected to save about $8,000 a year for village energy costs.
And I would interject that with rising electricity costs, I think it's going to be far more than that. So
in addition to that, I have been in contact with MC Squared. As you all may know, our community solar subscription numbers have been completely flat for several months now. So they are going to do another postcard emailing. I just sort of signed off on the final print yesterday. And so that should be going out in a couple weeks after they get it all printed out. We will have information up on the village website, social media, sort of refreshing everyone about what community solar is and promoting the program. So hopefully we get some more additional signups there for that program as well. And then with the start of the new fiscal year, we are jumpstarting a lot of new capital projects. One of the things that is budgeted for this year is rooftop solar installation at our public works garage. This would make the public works garage a net zero facility in terms of energy usage. We still need to go through the whole process of developing a RFP or RFQ, bidding that out, just sort of going through that whole process. And we've got sort of a bunch of other capital projects stacked up. So we haven't really begun that one yet. But again, that's one that as the year progresses, I will keep you all updated on how that goes. And beyond that, did I have anything?
Could we maybe use that $8,000 savings and that whole thing? If we're trying to encourage more people to sign up for programs, maybe somewhere around the time the postcard goes out, we could do a weekly blurb and say, hey, you know, this is what your village is doing, and here's going to be the savings. I mean, in a sense, we're all paying for it as taxpayers. You know, you should do the same thing for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and use that sort of as an example of the benefits of community solar, because it can be, I think, confusing to explain, even as I'm, you know, explaining it to our finance staff, of how these bills are going to come in, and there's going to be this energy credit on our ComEd bill, but then we're going to have to pay a percentage of that back to this community solar subscription. And I'm like explaining, like, no, but it's going to net positive. So trying to explain that to residents too, and just in a concise way, I think is the key there.
Yeah. Well, and my experience, because I've presented the idea in various forums, people think it's too good to be true. There must be something I have to do, something I have to pay. No, you just have to sign up and then wait for them to put you on a, you know, on a farm. And I get it, you know, but yeah, it's hard to get people to understand it.
I think it'd be, I know it's a little extra work, but I think it would be a good idea if we tracked as it went along what was being saved, you know, like a little tracker that you know, we're getting this percentage off. And does that seem like that would...
For the...
Once the community solar is up
for
and
the village community solar, for the village accounts. Yeah, I could look into that and it would be...
Yeah. And that was, you know, as Luis was saying, we could just, you know, periodically, you know, maybe annually say, you know, we've got this program, this one's saving. And then we can use that as a plug to say, no, you also can get these savings individually, you know, in addition, yeah, you know, of course you can tie it into your taxes in addition to this, you know, lowering your tax bill, you yourself can get this on your own home. And
well, and that's what I did, you know, in my PowerPoint deck, I actually used our, you know, Mezzatesta and Gimbel's over at 7575 Lake Street. I used our bills, not from last year, but I think it was the year before, and showed each bill, the Commonwealth Edison, you know, that portion, the I'm on Next Stamp, and so on, and showed all the savings. Now, we were in a program where we get 20% discount, which they don't offer anymore. I mean, that was an introductory one some years back. But I went and calculated at 15% and at 10% because programs, you know, out there now are either 10 or 15%. Nobody's 20%. Just to show, okay, even if you can't get 20%, you know, if you had electric bills like Louise and Corey do, you know, the real world examples really, I think, bring it home. So I think it'd be wonderful if we could maybe quarterly, you know, just look at the quarter's electric bills and the MC squared and, you know, do the same kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and to Louise's point, too, I agree. But I also would suggest, you know, including in there a little bit more explanation as to, because you've got MC squared, but they're a broker. You know, I went to NextAmp. I don't know who else is out there that actually provides it. Plus, you have the aggregate program, which, you know, so there's... It may be a bit confusing to people to just explain, you know, this is what this one means, because it's called community solar, but it's only because it's being sponsored through the community, right? It's actually, you're getting solar power that's coming through ComEd. It's going to handle all the billing and all that for you. And, but this is the benefits of doing it. So some, you know, almost like a real low level explanation of what these things are, I think may be helpful to. Because I thought it was confusing for till I started working on this. I couldn't separate them all.
Well, maybe I could take some of the language out of my PowerPoint deck and turn it into a blurb that could be a weekly.
I think we have passed. Maybe you could look through. I think we have passed explanations of this as well. Maybe
yeah, I do know we have some.
I think I wrote something.
Yeah, past explanations. And yeah, I mean, more wouldn't hurt if you wanted to take a stab at it as well. But yeah, I think you're correct. There is some stuff both on the website and then in previous newsletters.
Yeah, especially then put out something else that talks about, hey, you know, you get your own solar panels type of thing. So now you got, you know, all these different things you can do, and what does it mean, and what's the value to you as a consumer?
Yeah, I think it'll be really valuable to show the example of the village doing it and show that through a visualization, because I've also had trouble talking with people about community solar, even though, you know, it's a really, you know, not positive thing. It can be hard to get that across without showing a, you know, specific example and numbers as well.
Seth, have you taken a look at village permits for solar panels on homes recently?
Not super recently. I can dive in for next month.
Yeah, maybe we could take a look at that. And especially if we're going to be entering into this other program, it would be sort of good to know where we are right now. And is this something, and I guess also checking if it's slowing down as the incentives die away.
Well, maybe that's another statistic that we could publish. You know, how many people or how many permits, whatever. Because yep. I mean, we've talked in the past about what would be meaningful statistics to publish periodically. Seems like that'd be a good one.
And I think we've looked at it in the past as well, but it's been maybe 18 months since the last time I've probably looked at it, but we can see the number of permits, but also the kilowatts of the panels being installed. Yeah.
Well, I commend the village for all the initiatives they're taking on solar. So it's good to have them all presented together.
All right. Unless anyone has anything else on solar topic, we'll move on to our next item. I realized as I was putting together the packet, I did not put a memo sort of explaining these next two things, but I had touched on it the past couple months is the participation in the National Wildlife Federation Mayor's Monarch Pledge, which really commits us to doing, there was a list I think I had presented a couple meetings ago of 25 to 30 things. But really, they're just asking communities to commit to three. So one is going to be our revitalization of our Chicago Avenue bioswales planting. That's going to be sort of the key demonstration component. And then
And that will have pollinators?
Yes. And then the other two, which are communications focused, were a Pollinator Week proclamation was one of the things they recommended. And then a web page to sort of promote the program on the village website. So these are the next two items in the packet. I basically took what the National Wildlife Federation had provided as a sample Pollinator Week proclamation and just fit it into the village format. I figured that was the most straightforward. I didn't know if anyone had any other specific items they wanted to state in there or any edits to what was being stated. And then again, they had a lot of information and resources at the disposal on the NWF's website, specifically relating to this program. So I really just sort of took a lot of their short blurbs and then a lot of the sort of good resource links. And then I even one of the ones they linked to was the broader Wild Ones group, but I changed that specifically to the West Cook Wild Ones. And then looking at Oak Park, it looks like they had done that as well.
Is this week, June 16th through 22, is that an established pollinator week or we're just declaring
that? That is the established pollinator week. Okay. Yep. Yeah, it just happens to tie up that our next village board meeting is a week before that. So there's also a National Monarch Day, which is one of the other recommended proclamations, but that has since passed. I think that was in March at some point.
Related to this is the Forest Preserve, which does lie within River Forest, does a big Monarch, I forget what they call it, Monarch Festival in September. I think it's September. It might be October. But, you know, maybe that's something that we could just promote a little bit more widely and fold it into our
absolutely
village-wide opportunities. And they give away, they always give away milkweed. And
Oh, yes, the milkweed bombs you had talked about.
Yeah. Are you the one that wanted?
I found some milkweed in my house. Yes.
Seth, the only comment I went through it, and this may be more detail than needed, but I think there's very specific milkweed that they need. It's not any milkweed. And so if these sites take you to that, then that's good. But I know there's certain varieties that specifically you target with them.
Let me.
I'm only aware of like the common and swamp, like, you know,
the
think. And I know, yeah, and that's kind of like what I see around here. But
I describe it as smelling like bubble gum almost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it'd be good to find out if the good earth, because they're so nearby, carry milkweed, and if they carry that particular milkweed.
Just to get back to...
last year, I didn't have an easy time around here finding milkweed.
I just looked it up. It says female monarch will lay eggs on all 9 milkweed species, but they prefer some over others, swamp milkweed and common milkweed. Average the highest number of eggs. So when I go to these events, those are the two that they're usually giving up.
That I may add in here to the basically probably add it to this paragraph on the webpage. And then this is sort of hidden right now, but once it goes live, it would be basically a subpage under the Create a Green Ecosystem section, just like the guide to trees that we had worked on last fall. And I didn't know if anybody had any edits or thoughts to this. There is a printed copy in the packet.
Yep.
I think one thing that could be nice to add, because, you know, in the proclamation, it talks about, you know, participating in activities that promote environmental awareness and action, you know, around pollinators. So even if we don't have specific events or learning opportunities going on in River Forest, you know, during that week, adding to the website some things in the Chicagoland area that people could go participate in and be a part of. Because off the top of my head, I don't know about it. There's probably either through the Forest Preserve or I'm sure there's other community spaces doing things.
So I'm just reading through about the declines here, and I think we might, and I can work with you on this. I can take it and edit it. But so there was some good news. I think I said this at an earlier one. So there's the monarch butterfly population nearly doubled in 2025, the eastern. So somehow we have to incorporate in, I think what I would do is say, you know, efforts are working and it's, you know, we want to build on the success. They're still down, but, and then there's this little graph there. So what, maybe I can work on that before it goes public and get back to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Do we have any further discussion on this, or should we move to the next item? All right.
The other thing, and maybe you could add this part, is that I think we should incorporate in, like, just going back to what we said before, I think we should always say, this is what the village is doing, and this is what you could do. Because it just, I think it adds to the power, and it's also like, we're doing this because we think it's important. And I also think that, you know, people a lot of times think like, ugh, what does my little contribution? But it's like, we've got the village and we got you and we got your neighbors. So, maybe we could add that into.
I was also just thinking I could reach out to the library for, you know, the Pollinator Week and see if they could put a book display together or see if they had any plans or thoughts to be involved.
So we don't have any motions on that. It's just
we can motion to recommend the adoption of the proclamation. I think that's one I had actually written in my motion description, but I think with the website, I don't think we've ever taken motions on the things we've added there. So
okay.
I think that motion would just be to move that the to recommend the village board adopt a pollinator week proclamation.
I so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. Recommendation is approved. Next item of business, I included Ben's latest draft for the sustainability scorecard. So I will turn that over to Commissioner Cadlec.
Thanks. Yeah. So I updated the scorecard with resource links for each of the action items. I wish I had more time to spend kind of going through, some of these and finding perhaps better resources or better links. But I tried to guide towards either first, if there's something on the village website already about it there, or, you know, reputable organizations with good, simple resource guides. And again, wanted to focus on, you know, things that will briefly describe the issue that these action items are seeking to address, the impact that participation in it can have, and then how to actually, you know, participate and get involved.
I'd like to make a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is great, but there's one item I'd like to suggest we might want to change. Under tier 3, electric heat pump water heater, okay?
Yeah, I want to change that too.
heat pump, fine, but not that, because it's not something whose time has come. It's expensive. It's noisy. People don't know how to install them. They don't know how to repair them. I wouldn't advocate for them at this point in time. Someday they may be better, but I've got some very negative feedback when I explored doing it in our apartment. Okay. But I do think that heat pumps should be in there for, you know, for HVAC. So maybe we could substitute one for the
other. For sure, just electric heat pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's plenty of links, places you could link to.
Yes, I would change the links as well. But yeah, I think that would be good.
But I think the way you've got it organized makes a lot of sense. The ones that are tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, I think the way you've categorized it is excellent.
My question was, so yeah, I love all the topics, but my question was, are they, this is probably my weird brain, just the way it works, are they dependent on each other, each column? So like, is column and the rows, do they correspond or are they just independent?
I designed it so that they could all be independent so that you wouldn't have to participate in one thing to then qualify for the other. I think some, like, you know, I do want to change the use public transportation occasionally and the frequently, because obviously those are related.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's something to change. But the idea is that you go through each item and then you either qualify for it to get the point, or you can click on the link and learn more about it and see if it'd be right for you or something that you could try out.
So it's almost like bingo.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, my comments can be the same as they were last time, because when I look at, I mean, points, okay, so somebody's got a lot of money and they go buy an electric vehicle versus the person who's walking and using public transportation. Does that intuitively make sense to you on a point scale? I mean, ideally, you want people walking and using public transportation.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also very big always on continuity, right? Of things, continuity of purpose. And so we tend to always communicate in these buckets of things. So we got the recycling, we got the electrification, we got the solar and that kind of thing. I would strongly suggest that you maintain that kind of bucket approach. And you then take these things and you distribute them within those buckets. Forget about the points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because what you're trying to do, in my opinion, is just encourage people to act. And you, if you want to give points based on, okay, if you, let's say we got 6 buckets, I don't remember how many it is. You know, if you get 1 in all 6 buckets, 1 in each of 6 buckets, then you're gold. Right. That I wouldn't make it any more complicated than that. I wouldn't want to get into this rating of this one's better than that one, all right, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because ideally, you know, A, people aren't buying stuff to throw it away, right? B, they're going to use public transportation, or they're going to walk or bike or whatever. They do it without getting run over and those kinds of things. But so I would leave it to the people, to their discretion, to somewhat, you know, where are they at? And are they actually working or doing these kinds of things? So it should make them also feel good, particularly if they hit all six of the buckets, if you would, or whatever, however many you have. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, thanks. I think, like, my idea with the tier system, I think that, and this maybe should be stated more explicitly, but, you know, tier one is easier to implement, and then tier two, a little hard to implement, and then tier three is rewarded, not in maybe potential environmental impact, but by that's harder to implement. You have to put in a lot more effort to it. But I do think it could be better organized to, you know, reward people for, you know, what they are doing, and not, you know, because some of these things just aren't applicable to everybody and not attainable.
Yeah, when you say that, Ben, I actually like that. It's a very valid point. So you could, if you, that's like Excel spreadsheet mentality, right? So you got the buckets and you got the level of difficulty across there. So you're going to, you can, without giving any points. So you can show people, hey, you know, you can, and this is the point Susan's always making, you can do an awful lot without doing, you know, not having to apply a lot. Right, it doesn't take a lot to walk. Doesn't take a lot to recycle. But yeah, if you're waiting on buying the geothermal heat system, that's, you know, right. So that's I think that's a very valid point and a good visual to include with it. The level of difficulty or effort or whatever you want to call it to do it. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So then the concept of tiering is really around low-hanging fruit versus things that are a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, and I would suggest you go really heavy on the low-hanging fruit,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how much does it take to, what do you call those things, those monarch bombs or whatever you call them, that take one of those and throw it in your backyard? I mean, it doesn't take much, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, people are more likely to do that after looking at something like this as opposed to, like, looking at this and geothermal, it's probably not going to change someone's mind, right? But yeah, and I think I'd also like it to, I know this wouldn't work for everything, but yeah, like categorize these things to kind of better structure the scorecard. And then also it could be, you know, here's for reducing your waste. So using reusable shopping bags, like, oh, great, you do that. Have you heard about BYO and using Tupperware and reusable containers for when you go out to eat and stuff like that? So kind of have things like build on each other. Like, even if you're doing this one thing, maybe consider stepping it up and
don't saw the article where somebody's got a lawsuit against Ziploc bags now, and it's going to hit Tupperware too because of the microplastics. So
this is a very small point, but I wonder if you could add in one thing that I do, like when I go somewhere and I see that there's styrofoam, I just ask for a piece of tin foil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the thing is, it's super cheap for the restaurant. And I think every restaurant should have tin foil. I get a lot of looks, but anyway.
It's efficient.
But, I think what we're really trying to do with this is give people ideas of something that they might think about. So that's a very easy thing. But, like, if I see styrofoam, I feel like not going back to a restaurant. And so it gives you a go around. It'd be like, okay, I don't have to cancel this place. It just, you know, it's just a piece of tinfoil.
And to that, I don't know if this is what you meant to trigger, Susan, but if you had almost a fill in the blank to start to collect some of these things that people are doing that aren't necessarily what we put on the list. I mean, to me, the whole thing is about just getting people, promoting awareness, getting people involved, and just, you know, continuing to march forward on this, thinking about it every single day.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I like the idea of suggesting that to people. It wouldn't have occurred to me, but that's such a simple idea. You could put a piece of tinfoil in your purse too. For that matter. That's easier than carrying a container, but yeah. Yes. Of course they do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, like, super useful. And I think part of the hope with the, community nomination form, as well as like hear about things that individuals are doing that no one else is thinking of or doing, and try it out. Yeah.
Good work.
And I think this can evolve over time. It's like it doesn't have to be set in stone. We can get something out there, and then we review it and look at it and add to it.
Yeah. Speaking of the nomination form, Seth, was there any submissions?
I checked today again. There have been none set up. Just to quickly transition to communications. Let me my screen again here. I was planning to plug that nomination form again in a couple of weeks. So we've got so yeah, here's what we're looking at for the next few weeks. We're doing a wrap up of the EcoShip program this Friday.
Do you have any stats on that?
There's a few in there just sort of listed out, like bullet pointed. Christy actually was one who wrote it up and bullet pointed a few. And then just sort of listed like at the end, a bunch of the other materials collected, but not quantities. So, we have some at least of the statistics, but just the level of participation overall was huge. Definitely surpassed my expectations. So
was that the entire hall that you showed us?
When you peeked into the, yeah. Yes.
But if you know, I don't know if any of you have been upstairs as a small conference room, but it filled up the entire, like nearly the entire floor of the conference room was filled. So you haven't gotten back like how many bags it was or anything like that?
I don't remember that exactly. Let me look.
Could we snap a picture of that? And maybe
One second. Here, let me.
If the stuff's still in there. Because that'd be great to publicize after the fact. See, people do that and then it goes off into the ozone, like they say about recycling. But if we come back, maybe a weekly blurb or something and say, hey, this was really successful and show the picture with all the stuff.
Yeah, and so that's what it's going to be. And then let me see here. Yes.
That's us.
That is at least some of that. This was not everything that was collected, but this was.
But that looks like half what was in the room, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I know she worked really hard to consolidate it.
Yeah, she just sort of staged this to sort of get a picture of a lot of the items that were.
Yeah, collected. it was definitely more than.
But that. Yeah, there's definitely more.
I crop it down.
It'll look like more.
Yeah, I'd crop it.
And then let me.
That was the container behind it. Provided.
Yes. Yes, it filled up. I mean, initially, before sort of consolidating and packing it more efficiently, probably 6 or 7 times. Those are all like the bubble packaging envelopes. Just seeing if I can. Find the newsletter blurb here. Yes. So we've got over 200 poly mailing envelopes, over 110 bubble mailers, 2 55-gallon bags full of bubble wrap and air pillows, 25 pairs of athletic shoes. And then in addition to that, we also had packaging paper and peanuts, corrugated and honeycomb wrap, foam sheets, crinkle shred, tissue paper, boxes, lots of utensils, bread tags, reusable bags, organza bags. I'm wondering if that was a typo. Thermal bags, clear bags, ink cartridges, and paper grocery bags. And then
And just to remind everybody, what EcoShip does is their primary goal is to reuse this. So, you know, as we all know, that's a higher level of sustainability than just recycling. So it's pretty awesome. They make it available for small businesses.
And then we did plug their permanent storefront location, and then that they have a bunch of limited permanent drop-off collection centers throughout the region. So that will run in this Friday's newsletter.
Amazing.
And just to give a little shout out to Christy, I didn't realize this until I saw it this weekend, but she did this all with an injured foot.
Yes, the last couple weeks she came in with a boot on. So.
Dedication.
Where's the permanent location?
Their storefront location is in Westtown in the city.
Okay.
Do we want to maybe add to, I don't know if we can still add to it, but maybe add the picture and be like, that container you see in the back, we had it empty out 7 times because it would.
The picture will be included with it. But yeah, I had sent in the sort of draft on Monday. And so I don't know if I can make any last minute edits or if that's already too far up the stream, so to speak. But yeah, then just touching base quickly on communications items.
Wait, before we move on from that, I just want to throw out a thought that since this was so robustly successful, maybe we could consider being a permanent drop-off site.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to look into that?
And I will look into it.
Okay. It seems like it was very popular. I guess we'd have to be very careful because this was a special event, and so they took more, like the tennis shoes normally would not be a drop-off item at a site, so we'd have to probably do some clear marketing on what can and can't. But it was nice to have this as a trial, and since it was so successful, I think it'd be nice to go forward. And I think with that $8,000 we're saving the village with I think it's like $100 or a couple hundred dollars a month for this.
Yeah, and if they wouldn't go for that, maybe another one right around the Christmas time.
Oh, yeah.
If they wouldn't go for a permanent site, at least another one around Christmas time. Because you could get boatloads of stuff then.
Oh, yeah. All the packages.
Well. And regarding the shoes, the tennis shoes, DSW takes old shoes.
Oh,
so, yeah, I drop off because my children keep growing out of them.
How'd you like to write a little newsletter?
I can do that. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I'll write it up. I will probably reach out to them, make sure.
Is there any requirement on them? Or like?
I brought in a pair with holes in them because I have children. And they're like, yeah, throw it in the bin. They'll recycle, at least take the parts and use part of the shoe. But I think they would like to have, you know, more intact footwear being donated. So that can distribute.
Is it just gym shoes or all shoes?
If only donated gym shoes. I could ask when I call.
That would be a good thing to advertise at the tennis club because they plowed.
Okay.
Getting back to communications, for the other two weekly newsletters for this month, household waste, hazardous waste sign-up deadline reminder will go out on the 23rd. The last day to sign up is the 30th. And then what initially led to this tangent, on the 30th, I am going to replug the resident nomination form just to hopefully get some hits that weekend instead. And then, yeah, looking into June, monthly will be...
I'm sorry. Can we nominate people? Are we allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think my initial hope was like... people we don't even know of or like, you know, but like definitely like,
okay. I wasn't sure if we were
able
to.
That would be great.
Okay.
Well, and maybe we need to do some of that to grease the wheels.
Right. I think the only stipulation should be that we cannot be nominated.
Yes. Yeah. That's fine.
And then, yeah, going into June, one of Luis's previous drafts on the water footprint impact of various types of food will be run as the monthly newsletter. And then Pollinator Week will go the following week. Also plugging the finalized webpage As a resource guide. The week after that is open, and then the week after that we would highlight the CN grant and the Parkway tree planting.
What's the date?
June 20th. So I would need that June 16th.
Those crazy dates, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and our next meeting is June 10th, so we've got time for that.
Maybe our tennis shoe recycling will be ready by then.
But yeah, sorry, I sort of jumped in there and sidetracked that, Ben. I didn't know if you had had anything else regarding the scorecard or the nomination form.
No, it was perfect.
All right, and then I had mentioned the Canadian National Grant. We are having a tree planting event with Canadian National Railway and the company they partner with called America in Bloom. That will be Monday, June 23rd. I do not know the time off the top of my head, but I feel like it's late morning, midday. I will send out all the details to all of you if you're interested in coming out. It'll be over at the pump station. So one of the trees right near there along the parkway will be probably the last tree of our spring planting that will be planted just for that event. But I touched base with or mentioned this with you all before. There was initially a plan where I was soliciting ideas from you all where there was going to be two volunteers from this American Bloom group coming out and doing a two-day tour of the community. I have since gotten word that that will no longer be the case, and they're just asking us to complete a self-assessment and score ourselves on a bunch of various categories. That was the long form that I had included in the packet. So that's due June 15th.
Disappointment on Seth's face when he learned that.
It was... I'm already like stressing about the one event. They're like wanting to be this like big media event, and it's just going to be Bob Lifka from the Wednesday Journal there. And that is a relief. So if any of you would like, I can send around the Word document tomorrow morning. Fill out any categories you feel like you have any sort of input on or opinion on. Do not feel the need to fill out the whole form. I'm doing the same thing with a few members of our staff, myself, our public works director. I'm asking our superintendent to fill out the forestry section. I'm asking our other management analyst who staffs the Historic Preservation Commission to fill out the Historic Preservation section of it. Just want to get feedback from a lot of people so I can just sort of score it all and sort of average it all out and then submit that back to them. And I'm submitting that back with sort of a written narrative description. I'm going to go around town and take photos of a few of the areas, the Lake Street planners, the bioswales. They're also asking for like hardscaped areas and things like that, which assuming just like the lantern entrances to the
my alley.
What about some of our what do you call those pavers?
The
permeable pavers. And you can mention the alleys.
Yeah, that's right. Alleys, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also have some parking lots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. The East Metro parking lot is one of them.
And also the library.
And then that actually, this is not on the agenda, but just as a quick update, I had mentioned the solar stuff. One of the more sooner request for proposal we were putting together is design for turning the parking lots here into permeable paver lots. So we're developing a request for proposals for that, just for the engineering design. And then we are waiting on formal word from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District for funding for the actual construction, which would occur in 2026, calendar year 2026.
Back to the checklist. When would you like that back? You said it's due the 15th?
Yes.
So prior, so the next 2 weeks.
Prior to maybe our next meeting, which is June 10th. So yeah. Okay. And then And again, completely voluntary for anyone here if you'd like to, and do not feel the need to complete everything.
What is the checklist?
This is the form that I included in the packet, the self-assessment from...
Oh, part of the self-assessment. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I did miss that one.
It's pages long.
Yeah, begins on page 13 of the packet, 2025 Metrics for Communities, America in Bloom. And then it just sort of asks you to self-score along each of these many, many items over the next.
And how would, logistically, how would we do that?
I will send out a Word document that
we can write on.
That you can write on, yep.
One more question.
Yep.
Sorry. The tree date is when by the pump station?
June 23rd. Okay. Yep. And I will send out the time of that event. It's going to be in the middle of the day. So,
is it?
Yeah. Okay. Depending on your availability, if any of you want to come there. And then
23rd of May.
23rd of June.
June.
Got it. Sorry. Okay. Yes. June 23rd.
Do you have a time?
I do not recall it off the top of my head. I want to say it's either like late morning, early afternoon, somewhere in the middle of the day.
Could I ask, back on the topic of communications, yes. The idea of educating people on some of their misunderstandings or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Does anybody have particular areas that they noticed when reading the comments in the survey or talking to people or anything else? Are there any particular categories that any of you think should be addressed in that fashion?
I still get questions about what we can and can't recycle. Always. I don't know. I so difficult for people. I don't know how else to make it. That's like just the number one thing that comes to my mind.
Well, maybe it's just something we need to keep repeating at various intervals. Yeah. Well, if anybody thinks of anything.
I have one more question. Sorry, back to the tree thing.
Yep.
You said you're looking for people to go and celebrate. You were nervous that no one's going to show
up.
Yeah,
just if people are available, I'd like to have at least a decent-sized crowd there.
I'll be there.
So, yeah. I how I imagine it going is, having President Ducey talk and sort of introduce it, having the representatives from these two groups speak, and then we're going to have one of our arborists just sort of give quick background on the tree that's being planted. So it's a member of our public works crew. He's actually the newest member of our crew to get his arborist certification. He spoke over at Lincoln School when we did the Arbor Day tree planting a couple weeks ago. And so we've sort of unofficially drafted him into another speaking role.
Because I was going to suggest maybe since I think Willard's right there, can we have the kids come out? Is there any class that can we? My daughter was in a gardening class at Roosevelt. The kids come out and cheer and throw leaves or something.
Yeah, my initial hope was to tie it to the school Arbor Day tree planting, but the date they gave us was June 23rd. So schools are.
They have summer school.
Oh, they have summer school?
Yes. I don't know about Willard, but my kids in. My kid's going to be painting a mural on that wall right there. But I think there's...
But it's...
I think, does Willard have...
It's all centralized at one school, right? They switch every year. I don't know what school it is at this year.
I'll find out.
Okay.
But back to your question, Louise, if you go back to the surveys, in the comment sections, that's where you dig up all... That's where you'll dig all that up, yeah.
The two that jumped out to me, as Jamie had mentioned, recycling. And I know we had focused a lot of, I think it was our February newsletters on some of the things, and we can do that again. I know July, there's the Plastic Free July campaign, and maybe use that to say like which types of plastic are and aren't recyclable. And then the other one is just that stood out to me, and this was across the board, whether it's EVs or appliances, it's just general sort of, I don't know if it's skepticism, just sort of lack of understanding or general concern about electrification in general, whether it's grid capacity or how much of a difference does it really make, or cost concerns with the price points of electric appliances or electric vehicles as opposed to sort of conventional. That was the other one that had jumped out to me, at least.
Yeah, I like the plastic free July idea, just to address maybe the specific plastics, because we could try and explain everything about recycling plastics, this, that, so on. Maybe it's too much, but since you've got plastics as a topic, it's not a bad idea.
The only other items I had, I did include the quarterly waste report. So I'm still trying to check in on the numbers for how compost interacts with waste quarterly, seasonally, monthly. No matter what I do, I don't get a whole lot of correlation. There's some weak correlation. Sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's positive. So I still cannot figure out if that is a useful metric to be tracking. We are seeing increase again in compost subscriptions, and then I think even since the last data we had available, we've gotten a few more signups. So this seems to be the time of year that people would rather decide they would finally rather have a cart than keep putting out paper bags with stickers on it. So, which is a helpful thing. I actually had one resident this week. Part of this was he was confusing what the definition of landfill was, and he thought he was an alley service, but unlimited subscriber. So he gets two of the recycling carts and two of the garbage carts. And one of the garbage carts said landfill on the lid, and he was like, oh, that's my yard waste one. I've been only throwing in, like, why aren't they picking it up? And I explained to him, he's like, oh, so can I cancel my second garbage can and subscribe to the compost program instead? And so, yeah, that was.
No.
Oh, that's a good one. Do you notice people that sign up when it's being picked up weekly and then cancel when it comes to winter?
There is one resident who changes every 6 months from the large size to the small size.
They stay on, but they stay on.
And I think there's probably a little bit of a dip off, and you could see that in the chart this last fall, but generally, I think it probably just flattens out more than anything. There aren't new subscribers in the fall months and winter months, whereas in the spring and summer is more of a uptake in people who are interested in the program and decide to start participating.
So are we promoting that in our newsletter? I know you just gave us all of us. I just didn't retain it.
Big push was 2 weeks ago. It went in the monthly newsletter to promote the new drop-off locations.
Oh, that's right.
And then the first week of May is International Compost Awareness Month. So, and this year's theme was composting programs big and small or something like that. So it just really fit in where I could just quickly bullet point out there's these drop-off locations. There's the curbside program we offer sharing now. So you can do it as little as $7 a month. Just promoted the various ways people can compost. And I think I even had a quick blurb about you can even compost in your backyard. Try to promote it out there. And then, yeah, that's one of these things that just any week we want to, we can plug it into a newsletter to sort of re-promote the program and try and get more subscriptions. And then beyond that, we are still in the design phase for the EV charging station installation project. I've got another call with the engineering firm doing the design next week, and then they should have final numbers for the construction costs first week of June to hopefully bring to the board for the June 9th meeting for approval for that. And then we are getting in sort of everything queued up for the ComEd make ready rebates for the construction side of that. And then the IEPA grant will cover a big portion of the purchases of the 9 charging stations that we will be installing. 13 charging stations we'll be installing.
How many are going to be the fast charging stations?
8.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the IEPA grant was you needed a minimum of 4 fast chargers if you were doing fast chargers at a location. So there will be 4 a block this way at 418 Franklin Avenue. It's the Village 3-hour parking lot. Just sort of one block that way from our location. Same with the Village-owned lot that's immediately east of the CVS on North Avenue. And that one might be sort of a little bit slower getting off the ground simply because we need to get a utility easement through the CVS lot. The other two, we already have the capacity there from ComEd. They just sort of need to drop the power down and we're good to go. And then for level 2 chargers, which will be going at the West Metro lot, it was 10 ports per location. So it's 5 dual port chargers that will be going from there.
When you say fast, is that the level 3, the DC one?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Direct current fast chargers. They're sort of informally called level 3. There's some weird technical thing where they're not like an actual level 3. I honestly don't know the reasoning behind it.
Level 2 and the fast chargers are both 220, right? And then the level 1 is the
level 1 is the one that you just plug
you
into your
plug
garage.
Into your garage. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. This one over here is a level 2 charger. Those get about 50 miles, 40 to 50 miles in 2 hours of charge. Whereas you can get 80% charged with a fast charger in 20 to 30 minutes. I'll keep updating you guys as that one goes. But in terms of updates, I believe that is all I have.
Does anybody have anything else to add?
Ooh, pardon.
I'll take a wrap then, Seth.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. And then just in terms of items I am looking into prior to next month's meeting, check with the village attorneys regarding use of the village logo for the solar switch program, and that was a condition of the motion, the amended motion, to recommend that. Look into the number of solar permits and kilowatts and get that updated number, and then need to check with the stickers for the carts at the pump station, and then look into either a permanent drop-off site for EcoShip or potentially a Christmas time collection, if not packaging materials. Did I miss anything else? Does anybody have any other final business?
You could inquire into the leaf blower and tree ordinances, which are on hold.
Yes. And next month's board meeting, I will also be giving a, I've been asked to give just a general sustainability update.
What's the date on that?
June 9th. So it's sort of tying back to the UIC climate plans and just sort of specifically plugging the tree ordinance recommendation in there, because that was directly tied to a few of the recommendations, and then just highlighting the communications efforts, the results of the community survey. Again, another thing that directly ties to a recommendation there.
I would fold into that the whole solar thing that you presented, you know, just all the different ways that the village is itself participating and promoting solar.
Yes, because I know promotion of solar, or the community solar program, was specifically one of the recommendations of the climate plan. And so this is a more even holistic approach than that. So yes, that will, we'll look into all of that, and we'll hopefully have an update come our next.
I was also thinking maybe you could fold in together, like, instead of just sticking very closely to what they're recommending, like, for example, maybe you could fold in together the pollinator gardens and the Monarch Pledge, and, you know, just that, you know, say this is what the village is doing on this one. So just make each one broader. And...
Yes. Right. And with that, yes, as I mentioned earlier, our next meeting will be Tuesday, June 10th. And that we just need a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn at 8:12.
I will second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yep.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:12.